You're listening to the Golf Unfiltered Podcast, your source for in-depth interviews with the biggest names, brands, and personalities in golf. Our mission? To keep you informed and help you enjoy the game even more.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the Golf Unfiltered Podcast. We've got the full crew here today. I'm Adam, that's Nikki, that's Dan, Trevor Rees. Hi, everybody. It's nice to see everyone. Oh, look at, whoa, what is Nikki doing?
What was that?
I don't know. I think there's some gestures on StreamYard that if you do, does that happen for me too?
Happy
I don't
birthday.
Know. Wow.
Right?
There it is again.
Only for
is
Nikki.
Is it your birthday?
Or balloons.
It's not. But why is that happening?
I don't know.
Is it for Women's History Month?
It's
got to be.
How do I do it's one?
I don't know. I think when, like, so for those watching on YouTube, when you do certain hand gestures in this thing that we do, it does things and balloons just flew around Nikki. That was very nice. Nikki, how are you?
Well, I've been doing a peace sign. I do one like every episode and it's never.
Oh, there it goes again.
Never done that.
It's only working for Nikki too. Nobody else. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Well, Nikki is celebrating all the things in her office with peace signs and balloons. Dan, Florida man, Dan, you are in full Florida man gear today. I love the,
it's like
the neon.
God, it's yeah. Terrible, isn't it?
It's like back to being 90 degrees out of nowhere. Like literally two nights ago, I was in a hoodie at dinner. And then the next morning I woke up and it's like, okay, it's 90 again. I'm like, oh, cool. Well, I guess winter ended and nobody bothered to tell me. So yeah, we're back already in the summer garb. So
hey,
why not? Right.
Good for you. It's 60 here. And that's a heat wave here in the Chicagoland area. Trevor, how's the weather down by you?
My house was blown over last night, but today 60 and sunny. If you want to talk about some point, I do have a big golf tournament coming up.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. So I'm happy to discuss that. And they give you a green jacket if you win it.
Oh, no, really? I've heard about this.
So I'm excited for that. That's coming up in a month. So happy to discuss that.
Speaking of that, and coming up in a month to coincide with that tournament that we're talking about, the Masters. Nikki is
the Hidden
hosting
Creek,
for the
Green Coat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I got you.
Okay. Okay.
Nikki is Nikki's bringing back for the third season your Memoirs from Magnolia Lane miniseries. Nikki, I think some big things are in store, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah. Very excited for this third season. We brought it out in that first season, just kind of trying something new, seeing how it went, really just kind of a passion project. Really just wanted to hear myself talk a little bit more here. and then it went really well. So we did it again in season two, brought some friends around, and it gained some followers, gained some traction. And so we are picking it back up again for season three. And got some really cool people coming in for season three. So I'm excited about it. And I think all of you should be as well. I don't
Absolutely.
Want to give away any spoilers, but yeah.
My lips are sealed as well, Nikki. And listeners, all you got to do is just, it's everything's going to be on the same feed here. So you don't have to subscribe to anything else. You're going to get it directly to your inbox or your podcast feed, wherever you need to go. And we'll also be on YouTube. So be sure to follow us everywhere at Golf Unfiltered to see those announcements. So, all right, folks, we got a lot of stuff we got to talk about. Very, very, very quickly. We did have the Oscars over the weekend. I know, Nikki, you and I watched it religiously. I know, guys, you guys kind of caught a lot of the chatter that Nikki and I were doing, as well as what you've seen on social media. Nikki, really quick, best picture, did they get it right? Oppenheimer?
I mean, first of all, let's just talk about Al Pacino just butchering that announcement. That was hilarious.
What was he doing?
I mean, he was being Al Pacino. I mean, mm-hmm. I kind of, it would be very funny to me to have him announce who wins the election, like just be like, my eyes see. And I don't know. I mean, I wasn't upset by it by any means. I think Oppenheimer was a great film. We talked about it at length. We had a full episode about it, actually.
We
so
sure did.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't upset by that win by any means. There were others that I definitely would have been upset by for sure. So, yeah.
For real. Yeah. And the Al Pacino thing was really weird because I got the impression that he thought he was going to get like a full list of nominees to read. And he just said, all I see is Oppenheimer. And that was the announcement.
Oh, wait. I think he just said, F it. I got 30 seconds here. I'm just going
to. Just kind of went for it.
I don't know that he had the full list, right?
Right? No, definitely did not.
Like, pause and then like, and a voiceover does like the list of nominees and then he pulls the envelope and reads it.
He just went for it, right?
But, yeah.
That's my understanding.
He was going to read them all and he was like, well, my eyes see Oppenheimer. And then that was just it.
Yeah. And he's 100 years old and I only have 30 seconds here. Oppenheimer.
Yep. There it is. He did come out walking. Right, sorry. He did walk out to, he did walk out to the Godfather theme, which was a little sentimental or at least nostalgic for many people. But aside from that, I thought the show stealer, of course, was Ryan Gosling in his entire number that he did. Just Ken from Barbie, the Barbie movie. It was a great, great thing. And then, yes, Nikki, I know I have to watch more things. I didn't know it was a complete. Yeah, I know. I know. What was it? Guys and Dolls?
Before, please watch more musical theater. Like that. Everyone who has ranted and raved, this is the best performance. Oh, I love this. Oh, it was so great. That's what musical theater is, you guys. he was incredible though. And what's so funny to me is that that's not his like main craft. I mean, yes, he does sing and like he did grow up on the Mickey Mouse Club, but he chose acting as his craft. And like, not that he can't still sing, but the fact that he doesn't do that 100% of the time and he can just like get up there and wing it and still be so much better than most people who do that as their main craft every day. Like Justin Timberlake better be really glad that he chose acting instead of singing. That's all I'm going to say.
Fair enough. Fair enough. It's just nice to see that something good finally happened to Ryan Gosling, a guy that I'm sure hasn't had much go for him in his life.
Tough life. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's transition to golf now. The AP Invitational, Arnold Palmer Invitational, took place. Scottie Scheffler winning by 5 shots. I mean, he just basically went and dominated, which was really interesting, Dan, because leading up to the tournament, a lot of questions were about Scottie's putting. That was the worst sentence I've ever said in my life. Scotty couldn't putt. And so obviously one of the biggest things was that Rory McIlroy apparently had an opinion and said, hey, Scotty, go get a mallet. Well, Scotty did, and we saw what happened. Dan, what was your take away from this week?
Basically, it was the Happy Gilmore gif for GIF or whatever. You know, Happy learned how to putt. That's basically how every single person on tour should now feel. If he has somehow figured out how to even putt at an average level, it's basically game over. Good luck to anyone else who wants to try to compete with him now, because he was already leading or top, three in pretty much every single category before you got to the green, you know, far as strokes gain went. And then obviously he was just blowing up on the green. So if he can even just be an average putter, he's going to run away with a lot more tournaments. It's also really funny because when we found out that he had switched to that mallet putter, was it on Tuesday or Wednesday? Immediately I'm like, Scotty's going to win this week. And I obviously, you know, felt it on Sunday. It was an appropriate time to make that announcement to you, Adam. I didn't pull the trigger. I knew it. And I was like, he's going to do it this week. Did not pull the trigger. So obviously that was unfortunate personally on my end of things. But
Betting standpoint.
Of course. But the rest of the tour players are in trouble if he somehow has figured out how to start putting now.
Yeah. Trevor, how did you fare? Did you lay any shillings on the line?
my FanDuel account is felted. But anyway, you know, as in down to the felt, if you're sitting table. But as Dan's saying, if Scotty can putt, that's lights out. He's the favorite in every golf tournament moving forward. If he can putt, who's going to beat him? No one. And if he can figure that out, He'll. I'll do it right now.
Oh,
Scotty Scheffler, Masters champion.
Okay.
2024. Here we go. Because he can't miss with a short iron. He can't miss with off tee. Can't. Putting is going to be the question, but if he figures that out, fine. He'll even average putting for him. He's going to win tournaments, and that's kind of, we haven't seen that in a little while, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he's lights out when he's got it rolling well, and we didn't even hit 10 minutes into this episode before we got our first Masters prediction, so that's good. I've gone ahead and written that down. I'm taking notes just in case we have any public apologies we need to make later on. Nikki,
that contradicts my Victor Hovland one. Although I did cover myself and just say he was going to win a major, it didn't necessarily have to be the Masters. But we've got a little battle going now.
Yes, you do. I forgot about the Vic Hovland one. Nikki, gotcha. Obviously, we've got a lot of things to talk about in regard to what happened around Scottie Scheffler winning the tournament. It's weird because when somebody runs away with a tournament like this, you kind of almost have to find another storyline. And Wyndham Clark definitely gave us one to think about. There's a lot to talk about here. I mean, just for those who didn't see it, he had a 18th hole, I believe it was on Saturday. He had his ball in the rough, really thick rough, laid his club behind it. The ball did something. I think we all agree that it did. I know. Nikki, what's your take on it?
I knew you were going to make me talk about this, but like, first of all, there were clips, if anyone didn't see the rough, there were clips going around of them putting a Coke can down in the rough, and you could barely even see the top of the Coke can. So that's how bad it was this weekend. And secondly, I don't understand what all of the fuss was about. Like, I maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Maybe I just don't care. But he, for those who don't know, his ball was in the rough. It was really, really thick. He put his club down behind it and his ball just, it wiggled and everyone's right. Freaking out going, oscillation. And, you know, whatever. There's a handful of people in the camp of, if it moves, it moves. He broke the rules. And then there's a bunch of other people in the camp of, well, it didn't roll away. He's not like he cheated. Mm-hmm. He bogeyed that hole. Like, how can you say that he's cheating if he on that exact same hole, he bogeyed it to then lose that? Like, I don't know. I'm not going to get into the argument about it, but I just think that it's dumb.
Yeah, I agree.
There are many other places in tournaments where people have done things way more obvious that didn't get called that I think are worth conversations. And this is just not to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I totally agree with you. I even sent a tweet out on that. Look, if we're going to get into and we're not going to get too deep into it, but the rules are what they are. And this was a situation where, like you said, if he was legitimately trying to cheat, he did a bad job at it. I mean, it was a layup. He was hitting two, by the way, because he had no other option. Players do it all the time. Anyone who's ever played the game will test a club behind it. Now, that being said, I will call it out. There's a certain player that now plays for LIV that made it his hobby to go ahead and improve his lie over and over again, perhaps a past Masters champion as well. But at any rate, we're talking about Patrick Reed. I don't think this was that. You know, and it's one of those things too where, you know, Dan, you were making this commentary about when the PGA Tour is at your home course, so to speak. You know, they didn't make it hard enough. People didn't love the fact that people were destroying the course. And now we've got somebody that wins by five shots, something that we hadn't seen. It's pretty rare when we see a margin of victory that large. I mean, is there an issue on course setup on the PGA Tour from your perspective, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, the Florida Swing used to be you guys had your fun out in California and Arizona, and now you're going to come here and we are just going to beat the crap out of you, basically. Yeah, exactly. We're going to give you crazy wins from all directions. We're going to give you stupid, insane rough. We're going to give you everything that's just going to beat you down. And I don't think that it's lost on me that this was probably the easiest course setup we've ever seen at PGA National. And it's the first year that the tour took over managing the event because Honda famously, you know, said we're out. So of course the tour is, if the tour is running the show, they're going to want to make things easier. Bay Hill, when the wind was whipping, it definitely still had its famously lush, long, thick rough. I just think Scotty being Scotty, I mean, the conditions can only do so much if you're going to play lights out like that. One thing too, really quick, I will say about the whole Wyndham Clark thing is the PGA Tour has been doing some truly stupid things as of late, but credit where it's due to them. The one smart thing they did when they created that rule was it's only if it can be seen in the naked eye. Clearly the whole reason why we were able to see that oscillation is because that camera was like zoomed as tight as you can possibly be on a golf ball. That was obviously not able to be seen in the naked eye. So luckily that was one time where they were able to do something smart when it came to a rule and not something stupid, but back to the original thing. Yeah. Look, it's clear that the tour feels that in order to keep their members happy and not go to live, they need to give them every advantage under the sun, which means more money, less players playing against them if you're the top one of the top golfers, and easier course conditions. There's a reason, I think, that golf fans as a whole enjoy the majors, because those are usually the four times a year where these guys look like us out there, because the course is so hard, especially at a U.S. Open. I mean, carnage is what we live for every year at a U.S. Open. We get mad when the winning score is like 9-10 under par at a U.S. Open. And I think that in a time where fans are already in an apathetic place when it comes to men's professional golf, setting up these courses where like 20 under is going to be the winning score every week is just not going to get fans back interested. It's not going to do anything but make the golfers happier, and it's only going to make the golfers that are winning happier, because you know, the guys who are shooting 10 under and finishing T25, they're not going to be any happier. They're going to say, well, I shot 10 under and still couldn't even crack the top 20. What am I supposed to do here? So I don't know what the answer is, but I don't think that it's that.
Well, that's interesting too, because you know, and Trevor, when we talk about the depth and the bench strength of the PGA Tour, obviously everyone's comparing the players on the tour to LIV. That's just the world right now. I mean, Dan made the comment, I think last week, that, you know, PGA Tour's got a problem right now. Dan, we're not going to talk about you like you're not here, but do you think Dan, that there's a problem? Hey, Dan, do you think there's an issue right now on, you know, do we need more fans to embrace newer players? I mean, isn't it a good thing if new players win sometimes?
I don't think it's an issue of like a lack of players. But there's, I do think to a certain extent, yeah, we have to highlight the guys that are middle of the road, bottom of the, you know, making the cut, pushing that. Like if there was like a YouTube series every weekend where guys that are grinding for the cut, you could watch that mm-hmm. that would be an awesome thing, right? Like if you know the bottom guys, the guys that are trying to make a living, and you had to you could watch them each week. You know, I think that would be a cool thing. And that seems relatively simple to do, but the biggest issue for the PGA Tour is that they don't have the big time star. For our entire lifetimes, for my kid and there's no Tiger, you know, like that's the thing, right? Like you need that kind of star. But if you could create a situation where, okay, these guys are, their family won't eat if you don't if they don't make the cut, right? Like, that would be a compelling package to put together by the tour, right?
Like PGA Tour Survivor.
The players aren't going to go along with that. Like, in one of the full swing episodes,
yeah.
Joel Damon talks pretty heavily about that, about how he, like, his life changed so drastically because he was on full swing. And everybody knows him now, but typically on the tour, you are only getting asked for autographs when you're winning and when you're playing well. But people are asking for his autograph and he's not making the cut. And he's barely scraping by. And it's killing him because he wants to be winning and he's so frustrated. And even when these people are asking for his autograph, they're being like, you know, you'll make it next weekend, man. Like, hopefully we'll see you out there next week. And it's like, he's like, it's devastating and it's humiliating and it's embarrassing because the only other people that these guys are asking for autographs from are the guys who are winning and it's not me. And it was like screwing with his like mental health. And it was a really, really great episode. Actually, I loved it. But I don't think that you're going to have like the fans may love watching people like, I mean, obviously we all love Joel Damon because I mean, we loved him in those were our two favorite episodes each season on Full Swing, but, and fans will love that if we did, you know, a, like a let's root for the underdog, but the players are not gonna, they're going to get tired of that. And they're going to be hard on
them. Agreed. Agreed. I don't know how you get them to buy into, hey, you're kind of not that great. Like,
unless you're paying them a boatload of money to be that underdog.
Paycheck would be nice, right? Yeah.
Nikki, you bring up some good points there too, because there's some thought about this fan experience, and that seems to be something that like LIV Golf tried to really lean into. They've got the music playing, they've got the weird, you know, not weird, it's different, a different atmosphere at their tour tournaments than the PGA Tour. But I wonder if you mentioned Full Swing. Does this change the expectations that fans have of players? You know, because like the Joel Damon example is a great one, and that episode was fantastic. It's almost like, hey, you know what? We can make you more, fans are thinking, we can make you more than you ever could before because you're going to get Full Swing. You're going to get all this stuff. Has the atmosphere with fans and the player interaction changed in your opinion, Nikki?
I don't necessarily think so. I think it's, I mean, it's introducing people to players they might not have already known. In my opinion, it's always been kind of on the same level. I think golf is a very different sport than others because when you go to a golf tournament, you're right there on the ropes. You're right there in front of them. And I think that to some level, maybe subconsciously gives people the idea that they are kind of closer to them than maybe other athletes, you know. And I think that even when, you know, you have people like Max Homa, who their kind of whole ordeal is like, oh, roasting people's swing on social media, and they're interacting with fans a little bit more on social media than you may have like a Patrick Mahomes you know, interacting with people on social media. And so I think that gives, I don't know, that to me changes people's opinion on like golfers compared to athletes of other sports, but I don't think it's necessarily things like Full Swing or anything changing people's impacts of, or like changing people's opinions of, you know, the athlete and their relationship to them anyway.
The Golf Unfiltered podcast is supported by our friends at Cog Hill Golf and Country Club. Located in Lamont, Illinois, Cog Hill features four challenging courses, including the world-famous Dubs Dread. They also boast one of the best golf academies in the state, featuring top tracer analytics at their driving range, heated bays, two bars, and so much more. Cog Hill has been a longtime sponsor of the Golf Unfiltered podcast, and we are pleased to work with them once again in 2024. Go visit their website at coghillgolf.com right now to book your tee time. We're also brought to you by our friends over at Sharp Focus Nutrition. Sharp Focus Nutrition brings everything that you need to keep playing your best from a nutritional standpoint while you're on the course. Let's face it, we probably don't eat and drink the best when we're playing golf, especially on the weekends with our buddies when we're just out there to kill some time.
The folks over at Sharp Focus Nutrition have developed a step-by-step nutritional system that you can implement into your game right now to play your best. Go out to sharpfocusnutrition.com to learn a little bit more. The Golf Unfiltered podcast is brought to you by our friends over at Sunday Golf. Let's face it, golf bags are a dime a dozen right now, but Sunday Golf offers different models and lightweight bag options for any golfer, no matter the course or number of clubs that you prefer to carry. I personally use the 14-club Ryder 23 bag as my everyday gamer, but I also have a 6-club Loma bag for my practice sessions and casual weekend rounds. You'll love Sunday Golf's casual take on the game, including their golf bags, apparel, and accessories. Be sure to visit sundaygolf.com to learn more. Mizuno Golf returns as another sponsor for the Golf Unfiltered podcast for 2024. We have really enjoyed partnering with Mizuno Golf because, let's face it, nothing feels like a Mizuno, and this holds true for every product in their arsenal, including their woods, irons, wedges, and anything that you put in your bag. Mizuno has long been known for their high quality and high performance, and we want to bring that to our games, and you should too. Go out to MizunoGolf.com right now to learn more about all their new products as well as how they can improve your game today.
So I was thinking about this more the other day, Adam, because when we were all chatting about it off air, you were asking a lot of like legitimately good questions about, well, what would you, it's one thing to say it needs to be fixed, but what would you do to actually fix it? And so it got me thinking. I actually wanted to think, okay, what could we do to actually fix this? And this is what I came up with. And so I'll use a couple examples, and one that's very, everyone knows about right now. Okay. You take a look at somebody like Caitlin Clark, right? Next year, when she goes to the WNBA, they have already started selling out games. Anytime the Fever comes into town next year, fans are already buying up seats to see her, tickets to see her play. She hasn't even been drafted yet, but we know what's going to happen. Why is everyone want to see her? Because we learned about her and fell in love with her when she was playing in college. You look at another example, Steph Curry, right? The whole reason why Steph Curry was Steph Curry when he got to the NBA is because we all watched what he did in that NCAA tournament when he was played on Davidson. And we all fell in love with him, and he moved to the NBA. And guess what? We all kept watching him when he got to the NBA. You could use this, and any favorite professional athlete that you have that's non-golf related, you can basically use this comparison. The reason why we knew who they were when they got to the pro ranks was because we knew who they were and learned about them in college. And so, yes, I know that college golf is being shown on Golf Channel more now. I know that the tour has their PGA Tour U, but they're not, that's it. They have their PGA Tour U. And we see these rankings, but we don't actually know who these golfers are because the tour doesn't actually take any time to tell us who they are. They just give us a ranking, right? And yeah, if we want to, we can find it on Golf Channel. But if the tour wants to create the next Tiger, and I don't think we can ever create the next Tiger Woods, but if the tour wants to try to create the next batch of stars, the easiest way to do that isn't waiting for them to come on tour and start winning like what Jordan Spieth did. It's introduce us to them when they're in college. We will then there'll be a connection that will grow there. Right. And then when they go on the PGA Tour, we'll continue to follow.
Is it clear who the top up and coming golfers are?
I mean,
is it clear? No.
The Masters has their amateur champions, but it doesn't
always. Like, is it clear in pro golf who are going to be the next stars?
It doesn't always one-to-one transfer the way it does in other sports, though.
No,
that's fair. But I'm just, Dan.
It's a start, though.
I appreciate Dan's point to maybe identify the up-and-comers or something like that, where you can say, hey, this is going to be a guy. This is going to be a girl, right? Check them out.
But even in the other pro sports, to what Nicky said, not every single number one draft pick is hit out of the park. They become busts. But the whole reason why
it's not a one-to-one transfer like in other sports where it's like, okay, this person from college is going to do well in the pros. Like
I understand. I see.
You can play in college and then you could go to the pros, but like then there's the Corn Ferry Tour or there's the Asian Tour or the European Tour. And then there's so many places that they could go. And it's like, there's so many places that you're watching for a potential star to come out of that then could burst on the scene on the PGA Tour. And then there's also potential stars within the PGA Tour. So it's like, it's not just let's watch the college guys. Who's going to come out and be big in this one pro place? There's too many competing pro spaces for us to watch who, where the next big person's going to come out of. And that's why it's hard to keep up with, I think, of where these, the guys are. But I think if you do kind of try to keep up with the star, like, or introducing someone early, Ricky Fowler is a really good example of someone who was kind of introduced early. And like, a lot of people knew him from college because he was a standout in college. And so was Victor Hovland. And, but then also a lot of people knew him from his BMX days too. And so when he came on the scene, and even though it pissed a lot of people off the way he came onto the scene strong. And I think that made a huge impact. And look, when you think of the star quality, he has a lot of the, this may rub people the wrong way, but he has a lot of that like Arnold Palmer esque to him in terms of like, he knows how to market himself. He knows how to like put himself out there. He's he's in more ads today than I think any other golfer. And he stayed in ads even when he wasn't playing or playing well, at all.
And to that point, Nikki, even when we talked to Chad Mumm about Full Swing, he had said Ricky Fowler was the first person that said, I want in on this. And they filmed stuff prior to season one. So he knew, to your point about knowing how to market himself.
Yeah.
Also, you mentioned Corn Ferry Tour, which thank you for bringing that up, Nikki, too, because one, that's another example. That's the PGA Tour's own feeder system. They don't do anything with that. Nothing. Yeah. Like, the Korn Ferry Tour has a social media account. Cool. Congratulations. Like, half the time those tournaments aren't even on TV. Or when they are on TV, they're on the exact same time up against a PGA Tour event on network television. So nobody's tuning into Golf Channel for that. Like, there's so much they could even do with their own quote-unquote minor leagues that they're not doing to introduce us that way, too. Because, yeah, you're right. Not every single hot college golfer is going to turn pro or be successful in the pros. And some of the ones that are going to be good in the pros aren't the hot top college golfer, but guess what? Almost all of them have to go through that Korn Ferry Tour system. And that's a guaranteed way to learn about them as well too, when they've already turned pro to in anticipation of the PGA Tour. And they're not doing anything with that either.
I forget where this conversation started or where it's going. So forgive me, but
that's typical.
You need some sort of marketing department that's going to have these guys embrace social media and, they need to almost kind of create their own brand outside of their playing ability, which kind of sucks. But I think that that's the reality we live in now, right? If you want to superstar PGA Tour player, they need to know how to make a TikTok, or they need to know how to make a podcast, unfortunately, because it's not the same as it was. Is anyone against me on that? Like,
no,
then their wives do. Like, Tony has no clue how to make a TikTok, but his wife does, and she is killing it. And she is like, she's making sure that his name stays out there. That's for sure.
But if there's something that, like, if you're trying to compete with Liv that just has limitless cash, okay, that's fine. But you have to create these personalities outside of the game, right?
Mm-hmm. You have to be a
TikTok star. Hey, every once in a while, I'm gonna do a trick shot. I'm going to hit it off my head and dunk it in. Like,
I think
that's kind of a necessary thing we have now.
It is. And Trevor, I think you're in the right track there, because one of the things that we don't see a lot, with a couple exceptions, maybe Bryson and Brooks, the live golfers, they just get their bag of cash and then they kind of just go into their little bubble. Mm-hmm. And we're not seeing a lot of stuff from them on the social media. At least I'm not. I'm chronically online, as you guys know.
Ian Poulter's
Phil's an interesting one, Dan, because he kind of has gone back to what was working for him when he was on a tour still. You know, he's doing the short game things. He was helping our buddy Monday Q Info out with a few things. You know, that's an interesting case where, you know, Trevor, to your point, Phil at least let's face it, this guy knows how to make some money. And he knows that he needs to work every angle. He sure does. So yeah, that's an interesting thing, because it's one of those where you do have to build your personal brand. You have to continue it, you know, going. And apparently you got to make a god awful logo for your personal brand too. I mean, I think there's like four players that have a good logo. Adam Scott's is pretty good. Well, you know, if you like those guys. At any rate, yeah, I mean, all of this is kind of like, no, you're good. All of this kind of circulates into what Jay Monahan today in his press conference prior to the players, he was giving his state of the tour address, which he does every single year. And in his opening comments, which I think he did an okay job in his pre-planned scripted thing, he gave the state of the tour. In it, he mentioned, hey, we're going to do more stuff for the fans. We've got all this great money now from the Strategic Sport Group. They need an ROI. We're going to do this for the fans. We hear you, blah, blah, blah. Then he gets into the reporter question and answer section, which we can get to that too if we want to. But it does sound like Jay is listening a little bit to people who are saying things about, you got to get the telecasts right. You got to get these guys' brands out there more for us because fans want that. That was one of the impressions I got. For those of you that did watch the presser, did anything else like that catch your mind or your eye there? Dan, did you have the chance?
I want to know how he still has a job. I've been saying this for a year now, but today's another example of how does he still have a job? Well, two things. One, how does he still have a job? Because once again, if I am one of the members that are supposedly have some equal equity, equal stake, it's a members tour, and I'm watching that today, and I'm thinking to myself, you've known for a year what you're going to get asked. You may not have known the exact verbiage that you were going to get asked, but you've known what the questions were going to be for a year now, and those are the best answers you're coming up with. Two things immediately came to mind. One, how does he still have a job? And two, even maybe more importantly, how does anyone on his PR team still have a job? Because they should no longer have a job after today, because if they either they did an awful job of preparing him, or he completely went rogue, in which case, okay, then they're off the hook. But if he did not go rogue during that press conference, fire them all. I mean, what are we doing?
Him and his team are useful idiots, right? There's no other explanation in my mind is that they're being paid off by somebody and they're trotted out there, right?
Hey, at this point, who knows?
PR seems to be doing a better job than Kate Middleton and the royal family PR team, though.
Dead? Is she dead? Are they getting divorced? I can't keep it. I'm trying to figure out all the conspiracy theories.
Adam, we're going down.
Kate Middleton is not dead. Correct?
We don't know, Trevor. Okay. We don't know.
Okay, but then
is she dead?
She might be dead. That's one I
have a question for Nikki. Nikki, is all this happening?
Let's go off the rails here. Can we go off the rails? Sure. She's either dead, correct, or something else is going on that is I'm endlessly fascinated by the royal family.
Because they don't
need to exist. There's no political purpose for the royal family.
There really isn't.
But they exist. They're inbred.
The queen was like their Kris Jenner. She was holding everything together, keeping everything
related for me. Okay, got it.
The queen is like their Kris Jenner. She was keeping everything tight.
She's pulling the strings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. Pulling the strings. Big Mama passes. Now all the secrets are loose and free. Everyone's out of control. People have like prostate cancer now. People have abdominal surgery.
The king has cancer. The king. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. There's also a rumor that because they both went into the hospital at the same time, that maybe like
they're both dead.
He was donating him a kidney or something.
Okay.
She's in a coma.
Let's stir it up.
Who knows? I personally think that she's just like auditioning for the Masked Singer. Uh-oh. That's my belief. I don't know though. So
But what pays better than
it doesn't Queen?
Pay. Yeah.
It doesn't pay.
So they have no incentive to do anything else, right? She so they
she
just
doesn't get any like recognition for her act. Like she doesn't get any recognition for her actual talents. Like nobody ever tells her
talent?
Like, a job. So if she what goes on the Masked Singer and then it's discovered that she has actual talent,
I guess that's right. Okay. Like,
ooh, you can actually sing, and then maybe
you can
like,
sing. No, I'm yeah. Gonna get to okay. Taylor. All right.
Yeah.
I just blew up the podcast. I'm sorry.
That's fine. But
I am fine. Endlessly fascinated by the Royal Family because what the hell did Queen Elizabeth do? I have no idea. I have no idea. She's dead. Her kid waits her entire life to be king. He's king. He'll probably die soon.
It depends
and
on
then,
when.
And then, it, like, and then it just it goes over again. Like I don't. They don't. They're not in charge of the UK. Like politically. Like what are we doing here? What is this?
That's. I think that's the great title for this episode. What are we doing here?
What are we doing here?
What is?
Sorry, I.
No,
I,
you're
I
good.
Endlessly. This is a TikTok that has been now progressed for a few minutes.
Well, let's think about it. So I get most of my pop culture news from you all. So this is very interesting to me because, you know, what I don't even know where to go with this. I mean, because there are so many questions on where this
Kate,
been.
Kate is not dead.
I don't know. Is that the point, Nikki? Like, we don't actually know what the situation
the
is.
Question.
No one knows what's going on.
Did she need a kidney transplant?
Everyone is freaking out. And the more they keep just like they posted that photo and instead of just being like then they rolled it back and they're like oopsie doopsie we're graphic design is my passion sorry about
did
that
she, did she get a Brazilian butt lift?
No,
that's what boy. Yeah, but like if you're gonna admit that it was edited, then why not just release the original photo? But then they won't do that. And so
Brazilian
then they
butt lift sounds
another photo later of them like, oh, we're in the car together. And then turns out that photo's edited too. And then they just keep doubling down, keep piling on it, just keep getting worse.
Just do the hostage photo. Hold up a picture. Take a picture with you holding today's newspaper.
With the newspaper.
Call it a day. Call it
the
a day.
The worst part about all of this, though, is like, and I don't know. I don't even know if it's irony or if you can even say if it's irony or funny.
This is but great.
Like, the fact that like it's going to be a badly... like a bad Photoshop job that takes down the royal family and not right. them killing Princess Diana. Like
right.
the fact that like yeah. that's what takes them down. Like,
they swept that. Okay.
Here, yeah.
That was pre-social media. That was easy. It was pre-social media.
They swept that under the rug, right?
Because Big Mama was still alive.
Yeah.
Pulling them string.
But she hated Diana, right?
That's what I'm saying. She was still alive and able to like keep everything together. And now she's not.
I'm trying to catch up.
And now she's not. Yeah. And so there's no one calling all the shots. And Charles clearly does not know what he's doing. So,
right.
Yeah.
Because he's a million years old. And he always was going to be king. And is now king for the next 30 minutes. Right.
To all of our listeners in the UK, we
apologize. That 7% of our listenership is from the UK. I just looked it up. So
we apologize. Also, we are aware of our politics here in the US as well, and that they are equally as, if not doubly, as bonkers. Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably why. We are fascinated by this is because
anyway, Scottie Scheffler is going to win the Masters.
About 8 years.
So.
I got a question for Nikki here to bring it all back full circle. Is the end game here? Does the story finish here? Does Arthur Blank become the guy running the PGA Tour?
One royalty to the other.
Arthur Blank.
Oh. I mean, he is technically, he's funding it. If he starts running it, we don't want that. I'm telling you right now. We don't want that.
I love Home Depot.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, I know. But we don't want that. Maybe that's why Jay was a little stressed yesterday or earlier this morning is because he made all these promises about how much money he was going to be able to spend And then he found out how much the Falcons are going to be paying Kirk Cousins. And now he's like, uh-oh, where are they going to be given this?
As a D.C. area resident, y'all got fleeced for Kirk Cousins.
Cole's cash for everybody.
I'm fine with it.
Kirk is dope. He stinks. I hate that for you.
And you got Darrell Mooney now. Or Darnell Mooney.
But I'm a Cowboys fan. We're not doing anything and getting embarrassed by division rivals in terms of signings. Man, we got way off golf here, didn't we?
That's all right. That's all right. Nikki, who's winning the players?
You know, I might as well just go with a back-to-back for Scotty. He's got Meredith is due probably soon, and so he's going to get that baby magic and have good luck. And yeah, that honestly, okay, back to Scotty doing the Masters, though. If her due date is close-ish to the Masters, that could potentially be the only thing that would make it to where he doesn't win the Masters, is if he has to back out because she's like in labor or something.
He'll still win the Masters.
He still wins?
Yeah.
Trevor, who's your pick for the players?
Is Tiger playing?
No.
Okay. Let's go. Is Willie Z playing?
Probably.
Let's go Willie Z.
Okay.
Good old Willie Z. He doesn't look like he's having a heart attack when he's putting currently.
Currently.
Sometimes. Yeah. It's variable, but yeah. Let's go Willie Z. Zalatoris.
All right. Dan?
Max, I think.
I like that.
I'm not gonna make the same mistake twice. So even if he doesn't win, I'm not gonna go ahead and talk myself out of it and then be kicking myself come Sunday. So we're gonna go Max definitive right now on a Tuesday.
All right. I'm going JT. I think he's shown enough recently to do something. Dan, prompted by your pick. And to pick on Chris McEwen because he's not on this podcast. I'm going to give you all some homework to think about we're going to come back and we're going to talk about it the next podcast. Is Max Homa the next Ricky Fowler? Think about it.
That's not a Chris
McEwen take. That's a take from afar.
We're not having this conversation.
Folks, you can subscribe to all the fun stuff. Listen, Trevor, we're done. We're done. We're wrapping this up.
But I think that's right.
Okay. Follow all of us at Golf Unfiltered. If today's episode doesn't tempt you to do that, then I don't know what will. Follow us there on social media. I just want to remind everyone that we are powered by Bridgestone Golf, our title sponsor of the Golf Unfiltered podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel as well. Trevor, thank you as always. Dan, Nikki, it's always great to see everyone. We'll be back again very soon.
How do I get something going here?